All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight. IU now has its path clear for the Maui Invitational. The brackets have been set up. IU is playing Wake Forest in the first round. Would face, in either way, the winner or the loser, depending on which way the first game goes, of St. John's and Vanderbilt. And, of course, UCLA and Kansas in the other side of the draw as the marquee names. So we know what's ahead of us down the line. IU football set to start camp in just about a week or so, media days tomorrow and into the weekend for the Big Ten as the Hoosiers prepare for what they hope will be a bowling season at the very least. Again, 6 wins is the target at minimum. You'd love 11, but let's get to 6 before we go shooting too high just yet. NFL camp's also kicking in gear. Not sure who yet is going to be the Reggie Wayne of the Colts this year and arrive in the style that Reggie Wayne used to arrive. Hopefully whoever it is then also produces on the field like Reggie Wayne did, because that, of course, is the important part. But we start speaking of the NFL with the biggest news in the NFL, and it's what was on the field and became very much off the field news for the last several months, and that is the Tom Brady, New England Patriots, pressure per square inch, football, inflation, deflation, call it whatever you want to call it. It's certainly been a fun few months watching this thing go on, and another step along the way as Roger Goodell, the sole hearer of the appeal by Tom Brady to his 4-game suspension, has declined or denied the appeal at this point. So Tom Brady at this moment will be serving a 4-game suspension. A lot to probably be determined here in the court of law, but in the court of the NFL at this point in time, Tom Brady has been deemed to at least be due some suspension, some penalty, along with the Patriots, who have already accepted their penalty, for this situation, knowingly or at least potentially knowingly deflating the footballs below regulation. And Glass, I mean, we've talked about this a lot in the past because it brings disrepute to the game itself, and people watching the game, a little bit of it, people betting on games, there's no way around that. But when you watch the game, you want to know it's fair. The best thing I can come up with from a comparison's sake, the more I think about it, and I don't think it's as bad, Pete Rose has been suspended forever now because he was betting on baseball, betting on his own team, although he denies it. It's another way of bringing disrepute on your game. And when you change the rules of the game, not play within them and skirt them a little bit, like, you know, putting a guy in the wrong spot to try to fool somebody. This is messing around with the game a little bit. It doesn't seem like a huge deal, but it does bring into question the fairness of the game. And that's why I think you're seeing this, that, and of course, the fact that he just wasn't as forthcoming as he should have been up front with everything that he had done beforehand.
No, and that's the problem. There's two things you can't have. You can't have one franchise playing by a different set of rules than the other franchises, and you can't have, no matter how big the player, he has to follow the rules that he signed up to play in the NFL, that his union signed up through a collective bargaining agreement, that they all came together and agreed on. This is how games and discipline and punishment with on-field incidents is going to happen. And that's what gets lost in this discussion. Everybody says, well, that dude beat up his girlfriend and had 400 guns. Off-the-field incident has nothing to do with the integrity of the game. The integrity of the game does not mean whether you play with your shirt tucked in or not and whether you're a gentleman. Right. It right. means you play by the rules so the game is on the up and up and does not appear to be fixed. That's what integrity is. It's not about persona. It's not about how many tattoos you have or don't have. It's not about how much time you spend helping out with charity. It's making sure the game is played on the up and up. That's the part that gets lost in all this. This happened on the field of play and affected competition. Mm-hmm. Greg Hardy did not affect competition. Right. Ray Rice did not affect competition. So when Adrian Peterson did not affect competition. So when people say, how can you suspend a guy this for this and that for that? Well, it's two different situations.
It's completely irrelevant.
Completely irrelevant. And when Tom Brady, as an employee of the National Football League Players Association, he must play and respond and live by a set of rules mm-hmm. that does not apply to everyday America. Okay? Tom Brady, yeah, you're right. The cops come to your house. You don't have to give them your phone unless they got a warrant. This ain't real life. This is NFL life.
Exactly.
And
right.
Your agent, your lawyer, your union representative all agreed that this was the best way to handle things involving competition.
You cash the paychecks.
On and off you never send those back and say, hey, something's wrong with that. But that's the point that gets lost in all this, is Brady has decided that he's not going to go by the rules he signed up for. He's not going to do it. The Patriots have decided. If this was such a non-big deal, like they said from day one, then why are we here?
Sure.
Why is this situation come to a head? Why is the NFL Players Association filing papers this afternoon in federal court that they're going to do what they have to do legally? If this is such not a big deal, like everybody says, the only people that says this isn't a big deal are Patriot fans and people that love sticking their tongue in Tom Brady's ear.
That's right.
That's the only people that think this is not a big deal. Oh, we're just talking about some pounds per square inch. No, you're not. You're talking about avoiding playing the game by the rules established by the committees and associations and collectively bargained between labor and players union. They have agreed this is how it's going to be, and they're not anywhere near following that.
Well,
and I don't have a problem with anything that's gone on because it's a procedural issue.
I think it's an interesting discussion, although I'm not sure how relevant it is at the end of the day, to whether deflating a football or inflating it more so would be helpful or hurtful to someone. But the bottom line is there is a set guideline behind it. And if you don't want to follow the guideline, if you scuff a ball or if you slather spit all over your hand and then throw a spitball in baseball.
And you get caught.
These are all things you're not allowed to do to these things, you know, to the ball.
Ask the Negro brothers.
Yeah, exactly.
That's in the form of competition.
It's exactly what
that's
it is.
It's between the lines.
It is the game itself. And the off-the-field stuff, again, that's a different discussion. I get why it looks weird. I understand
it's
all that, but it's not the same thing.
It's not even close.
That's why I go back to the Pete Rose situation. And it's not the same as Pete. It's not as big a deal as Pete, in my opinion.
That would be corking your bat.
But it is a big deal.
That would be taking steroids.
Fair enough. That's exactly right. I mean,
Pete is the
big one that we all know about because he brings the game into disrepute.
Right.
And this, again, it didn't affect that game. We all saw how dominant the Patriots
were.
It's
not about that.
Of the Colts.
It's about the other times they haven't been caught doing it.
It's exactly right. And here's the thing. This is not the first time. We know that. This is the many times. They keep changing rules. I mean, you don't hear all that much about the rules, as I mentioned earlier, where they're going to change where your guy who is up on the line or who is off the line is allowed to be. That's a rule entirely because of the way the Patriots were using it. That one was at least within the rules. It was sneaky. It was underhanded a little bit, but it was within the rules. But this is the second time at minimum we know of them doing something with outside of the rules.
And here's
spying the first time around.
And here's the thing that drives you crazy about Brady, because someone's letting him say this. I respect the commissioner's authority, but he also has to respect the CBA and my rights as a private citizen.
No,
Tom, you're at work.
The CBA
That's
is
completely
exactly
wrong,
what he respected.
Tom.
The CBA is exactly
You've
what
got,
he's working
And he's
with
got
him.
That wrong. And he has million-dollar lawyers at his disposal, and he looks silly.
Who wrote that for him, too? That's a goofy
Don
part.
Yee. That's his agent
forever. What I'm
forever.
Saying is that they wrote it for him, but and they would say
exactly
something
exactly
like
right.
That.
I mean, I know Tom got a nice education at Michigan. He got a nice law school up there. I don't think he spent much time in the law library. But the point of the matter is, that's the point. My rights as a private citizen. You're not a private citizen. No. You are signed. The NFL has certain rules and regulations you must abide by to be a member of their association, and you're in that association.
The interesting part, of course, there is he's probably one of 5% of the league that these sorts of things ever come down to, but the other 95% of the players signed off on this thing knowing full well and good, and they were happy with the way things are going.
Tom Brady,
because they weren't going to be affected by something like this at any point in time.
If this wasn't such a big deal, there's three things that could have happened 8 months ago that would have fixed all this. The Patriots never would have fired the two guys involved with the equipment. Mm-hmm. Number one, if it's not a big deal. Number two, Tom Brady would have said, yeah, I didn't know being off a half pound is going to hurt. Sorry.
Done. Right.
Where's your fine? Okay. My bad. Won't happen again. And you walk away. Guess what happened? You got caught.
That's right. You kept denying it.
And what's always worse? The crime?
Denied it.
You said, are we arguing about half pound of PSI?
Yep.
Or are we talking about a cover-up?
A cover-up.
It's not hard to figure out. And you know what happens when really smart guys get caught? They make a big stink about it because justice doesn't happen in their favor. They're owed something different because they're not. The reason the law is the law is so everybody has to play by the same rules, not so you can have an advantage because you got a bigger checkbook.
Well, and
that's the problem.
He's yelling pretty loud right now.
Yeah, well,
he
has to now. He's all in.
People hear it. That people understand and remember the last thing. But the thing they'll remember eventually is that he's not going to play Thursday night against
Pittsburgh.
One quarter
of the season is gone and out the window.
We'll see what happens in the court of law. Of course, that will be a joke, I'm sure, and
but
hopefully
it'll
be handled quickly.
But the law applies to everybody. You sign up for it, yep. And people shouldn't be treated differently. And the biggest kick I got out of it, I just saw a headline on ESPN, Jerry Jones thinks the commissioner did an excellent job.
Exactly right. So we got to take a quick break when we get back, though. The one bombshell that came out about that, that Roger Goodell was holding on to, smart guy. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. This would be the part of the show where we'd probably move on and start talking about IU stuff, but it's turned into a Jerry Springer show in New England in particular. In
yeah,
the
and
NFL.
Not us, them.
It's too much fun at this point. We can't look away.
We're passing along the information to you.
But the bombshell, if you will, that was renounced as part of the findings in the appeal heard by Roger Goodell after, 10 hours, I think I saw, of testimony. He said that came out, and this apparently came out after the initial sanctions came out. The cell phone that Tom Brady had, he had destroyed the day of his meeting, his scheduled meeting with...
what are the odds?
With yeah, I know. What, is it Tom Wells, Tim Wells? I can't remember the guy. Ted Wells, thank you. And it was something like that. Ted Wells, later that day, knowing darn well that text messages were part of the issue, he is claiming that he was told by his lawyers that his cell phone would not be part of it. But yeah, you got it exactly right in three words or whatever it was. What are the odds? Four
what
words.
What are the odds?
The same day, it just so happens you get rid of the cell phone. Look, we all know nobody gets rid of their cell phones on a monthly basis. These things are tied to our hips nowadays. Funniest thing is ESPN's got a little blurb now from his a buddy of his that he went to Michigan with, who's named Todd the godfather of his child, who's saying Tom gets rid of phones all the time. And by all the time, he means every couple years, like a lot of people, when they get the free
upgrade.
Yeah,
when they're, and he went from Samsung to iPhone, too, which was interesting.
Yes, he did. Droids stink. You know that.
My droid works great. I've got no problem with it. All I know is when I get in a pickle, I don't go smash it against a rock or anything.
Well, exactly. I mean, let's just throw it in the lake because I don't need it anymore, and I'll go get another one. Of course, he's got the money. That wouldn't matter. I can see him changing numbers, stuff like that. But yeah. Seriously, you think we're all going to buy that you just so happened that day to get rid of your phone? Not just get rid of it. You didn't take it to the store, sit in line at the Verizon or the AT&T store
just
for 2 hours
and
wait for the new one until they transferred over all your contacts and stuff. What'd they do? Toss it in the lake?
I guess when you're Tom Brady, you don't need your photos. You don't need your cards, or you don't need your contacts. So that people contact you.
It's not the Boston Tea Party.
Well, here's a person they also wouldn't contact was Ted Wells. So if he lost that number, it wouldn't matter because he'd never call him That's the guy who wanted to investigate him and talk to him about it. And he decided
lawyers didn't destroy their phones.
Brady again under NFL protocol decided to do everything that was in that agreement that he needed to do and wouldn't do it. So I'm not sure where the sympathy angle is coming from Brady on all this. Again, the simple-minded person says, what's a couple square feet of pounds per square inches or whatever it is? Well, that's fine. You just go eat your nachos on Sunday. Everything's okay in your world.
Right.
That's, go ahead. It's fine. And then you're the same guy. You. You're the same guy, Mr. What's the Big Deal, who stands up and screams the game is fixed when your $10 bet on the Giants doesn't come in.
Right. Or
you can't have it both ways.
Interference call down the
sideline. Oh, guy's holding them all night. Referee guy holds them all game. Enough.
You must have money on
again,
the game.
Let them sort it out. And if Brady doesn't want to play by the rules, fine. I don't know what extra punishment can happen or what goes on to any of that. But here's what I do know, that there is the rumor going around that if Brady would have came out and admitted it, if he would have played by all the rules he should have played by as per these agreements, his suspension would have been reduced. When he decided to fight it and go all in on it, They said, well, you can keep your four games and we don't care.
Well, especially
because you can't play by a different set of rules.
And especially if they find more evidence, of you trying to hide evidence. Again, when this that obvious, I mean...
Tommy and Quincy is the only guy upset about this right now.
Yeah, I mean, you're not even smart about it.
If you're a Patriot, Patriots fan and you can't see this, that's fine. You're a complete homer.
And you mentioned it before we went to break. The person who has now come out and said that he likes the job
Jerry
that Goodell has done is Jerry Jones. And he points out, hey, look, I just a couple years ago I got fined $10 million or got you know, cap space of $10 million because of a situation that the commissioner ended up ruling on, and so did Dan Snyder. They both got nailed for something like this.
Hey, throw in Sean Payton, the whole Saints for that.
The point being, nobody likes it when you get slapped on the hand yourself.
You got to have laws, man.
But you got to understand what's going on. And he made the great point. Look, we're all, there are 30 owners or 32 owners or whatever it is. Yeah, we all got to play by this. So, you know, we all have to deal with this. And sometimes we all have to take it on the chin a little bit for the greater good.
They're all skirting the line. They're all riding that gray line for any inch of compensation.
And remember, Jerry is not the guy that has anything to gain out of this particular situation.
No,
that would be the Patriots, or that would be the Colts. That would be the
league does
the
get
Ravens.
Some nice publicity.
Yeah,
out of this,
that would be the other East teams. That would be the Steelers. That would be these teams. Maybe the Broncos. So, I mean, Jerry Jones never came into the case of playing the Patriots and dealing with that.
And again, now Robert Kraft is an owner of the National Football League New England Patriots. Why is that important? Well, they work for the commissioner, or the commissioner works for them, and then they butt up against the union.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't defend Tom. And
he has to, because the
NFL goes up against the NFL Players Association in this court. So it's a very bizarre. We're going back to, remember, this is no big deal and nothing happened. Here we are with lawsuits in federal court. So we went from nothing happening to a really big deal of something happening that couldn't be resolved by cooler heads, that couldn't be resolved by mediation, that couldn't be resolved, period. You're wrong, we're right, we're fighting this. Okay, now you got a fight on your hands. So instead of a 2-game suspension or a no game, I'll pay a fine 2 days after this happened suspension, you have an absolute train wreck that's lasted 9 months. The NFL owners will never admit this in public. They love it. They're on the front page of the paper every day of the week.
Sure.
They make $1 trillion a year. But the reason they make $1 trillion a year is because fans want legit stuff.
Yeah.
Okay? Everybody goes to pro wrestling because they know it's fake.
Right.
It's not a secret. Okay? There's a difference.
Fake.
Tommy from Quincy, there's a difference. They know it's fake. Pro football is not fake. You seen the last Boy Scout? You want to turn into that? Remember guys running down the field shooting people? Yeah. Free agency ruined the game.
Is this where we get a Hernandez joke somehow?
No, not at all. Well, we don't even have to bring that up. That's off the field. That has nothing to do, and that's where people get confused. Again, it's come full circle. But the point is, this is such not a big deal. The two guys involved with the footballs are fired.
Mm-hmm.
The guys that had all the text messages and 180 pages of Wells report where they said, hey, you deflating the balls, they're gone. Why? Did a bad job?
Well,
last time I checked, Patriots won the Super Bowl, didn't lose it.
And keep in mind, Robert Kraft went ahead and accepted publicly his initial punishment.
Yeah, and now
he went along with it just fine.
And now he said it's a bad
idea. Now he has to keep standing up for his player because his player keeps fighting.
He's digging him deeper and deeper.
And you're right. Ultimately, the player has agreed to as part of the union, the CBA, and this is allowed in there.
So they fire the two guys since it's not a big deal. That's number one. Number two, they don't talk to anybody. They stonewall Ted Wells. Well, if it's a big deal, not a big deal, you explain why it's not a big deal. And my third and favorite one of the whole thing, Bill Belichick comes out the next day and says, I know absolutely nothing about football air pressure. I know nothing about how game balls are prepared. And 48 hours later, gave a 37-minute dissertation about he is now an expert on exactly how it happens, how it goes down, and how it goes down at his stadium. In 48 hours, all of a sudden, learned, figured all out. He said, I have no responsibility. I don't deal with that. I know nothing about it. And 2 days later, he was front and center for 30 minutes.
And what else was that? 12 days before the Super Bowl he was going to be in. So he spent 2 days, you're telling me, before the week before
preparing for the biggest
Super Bowl
game of
preparation
his life
for the
again.
Most prepared person in the world. And he's going to have to go.
Hey,
he's going to go through
this.
All that.
Here, just read this up there. Again, you tell me one thing one day, and you tell me the exact 180-degree opposite thing the other day. No, I don't believe you.
Now,
had your chances, and you don't deserve any kind of break.
If Brady goes to court and he brings out Bill Nye, the science guy, on his side,
good for him.
Then he'll probably win. But look,
but again, it's a procedural issue.
And
that's
so silly.
The procedural issue is that has nothing to do
with
it.
Would anybody have cared all that much if he came out initially and goes, you know what?
Bad. I had no idea this was a big deal.
You know, it was a little loose. You know,
my fault.
Threw a little. Trying to get a grip on
remember, he did that against the Colts and then came back a week later and told everybody again, or was it the week before, about Baltimore. You got to know the rules, man. Don't get mad at us.
Right, that was after the Baltimore game.
Absolutely. Was the Baltimore game after the Colts game?
No, the Colts game was a championship game.
Okay, so you had the week before lecturing everybody on the rules.
Because of the
alignment situations. And then all of a sudden he has no idea about the rules, but now he knows everything about the rules and how this is legal and not illegal.
Right.
But yet you fired the two guys, trashed your phone, wouldn't talk to investigators, and here we are.
Said it from day one. The quarterback who has the ball in his hand on every play knows absolutely what he wants in that ball. He knows the rules they need to be within because somebody's telling him what they are.
My other favorite angle of this, too, is the witch hunt angle. You know why it's a witch hunt? Because the Patriots do it every year.
Yeah, there's something
they do something different every year that the other owners and general managers talk about at all their meetings and say, hey, remember Eric Mangini?
Right.
Well, yeah, you remember, you can just keep going back for all the – it's some of these guys get tired of it, especially when you have to play against them or you have to go through them to get somewhere. You're right. The pressure in the football had nothing to do with the Patriots beating the Colts in the AFC Championship game. But what else were they doing?
You know the coincidence. Well, the coincidence, is that it's always the Patriots.
And it's always the Patriots. And it's always Belichick, and it's always Robert Kraft.
Yeah.
It wasn't Steve Grogan.
That's right. Tony Eason.
Right? It wasn't Tony Eason.
That's right.
No, it wasn't Drew Bledsoe.
It was the guy, the convict, who was out and he swept the floor.
So Tony Franklin.
It was his fault, too. So actually probably was a coincidence.
Who was the family that owned them beforehand?
Wasn't their fault.
No, it wasn't. Not at all. So that's the point. It just happens to be Bob Kraft. It just happens to be Bill Belichick. It just happens to be the Patriots.
Time and time again.
Jerry Jones said, hey, they got me for $10 million. Yep. Go ask Sean Payton and how that went.
Yep.
Not too good.
Yeah.
Not too good. It happens. You play with fire, guys. Go ahead. And I have no sympathy. None. Zero.
Keep doing it.
None.
We got to take
four
another
games,
quick
one
break.
Quarter of the season. See you later.
333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Williams Brothers Healthcare Pharmacy is a family-owned business offering personalized expert advice on a wide range of pharmacy services. Located at 574 South Landmark Avenue, Williams Brothers, committed to creating customers for life. We thank Williams Brothers for being on the program with us. And while Dave gets you caught up on the calendar ahead, we've got a pair of tickets to give away to the Cincinnati Reds St. Louis Cardinals coming up a week from tomorrow, August 6th. It's a 12:35 businessman special at the Great American Ballpark. We'll take caller number 3 at 812-333-2665. A pair of tickets to go see the Cardinals and Redlegs a week from tomorrow in Cincinnati.
Quick programming note then. We've got Reds baseball the whole rest of the week here. Got them tonight, 8 o'clock. They are in St. Louis finishing up that series.
Looking to win the series after Mike Leake and Aroldis Chapman, their final audition last night.
It is insane to me how that happens. People start trading people away, and then all of a sudden, those teams start.
The
St. Louis Cardinals are what, 65%?
Yeah, but they can't hit, though. That's their problem. They had four hits. Leake held them 4 hits over 8 innings last night. No runs. And Chapman came in and pitched a scoreless
ninth. The Cubs were looking to win. They ended up sticking up against Philadelphia, who's the worst.
They
out
win
there.
Today. Then they lost to Colorado as well. Schwarber won for 3 today. He's batting .358. So that's not bad at all.
Very nice. But again, Reds baseball coming up 8 o'clock tonight, looking to finish off St. Louis. Then they come home, and we will have Thursday, Friday, Saturday of the Reds hosting the Pittsburgh Pirates. So it doesn't get easier for the Reds. But rumors now are that Aroldis Chapman may be on his way out in the very near future. Of course, the trade deadline is this weekend. Friday, I believe, is the end of it, the last day possible. But Johnny Cueto went to the Kansas City Royals the other day. And unfortunately, that's the lot of life for Reds fans right now, is that some folks have got to go out the door. But got a good trade, got a lot back for Johnny Cueto. Sad to see him go, our Reds fans. But a good haul, brought in three left-handed pitchers in particular, at least one of which is ready to show up in the majors maybe, and some minor leaguers that are doing well. We'll see what they can get for a couple other players here coming up, or if they even go that direction. But again, 8 o'clock tonight for the Reds. Our friend Terry and his Dodgers with a pickup, ex-Reds pitcher Matt Latos going from Miami to the Dodgers today. So adding to the bullpen out there in Dodger land is Matt Latos, who was struggling earlier in the season, but having a really nice time since he's come back off the DL. But another former Reds pitcher, talking about Terry and our buddy Terry, and Matt Latos. So that's a nice pickup for them.
And Michael Morris, too. You can hit the ball. Good power bat. So but that's always.
Now is the time.
Well, it is, because number one, there's two reasons. The Friday deadline, no waiver deadline. So all these trades can happen. Nobody can block them or get in the way of them. So that's one of the reasons it has to happen. Obviously, the second reason is, guys, when the deadline's here, you have 2 full months to play, and you get a guy in. Mm-hmm. You don't want to wait for someone to block your trade, and the price will go up the more desperate you get. So, yeah, all this is going to happen now. So the Reds in the next 2 days, don't be surprised. Chapman, Leak, yep. Bruce, Phillips, Bird, all these guys have been mentioned in some category of going. So if that is the price of poker, the Royals added Cueto on Sunday. They added Ben Zobrist the other day.
How about
day.
Troy Tulowitzki? I mean, here's
going
a
going to the Jays. All-star. What are the Jays doing? The Jays are 19,000 games out. Good luck with that. Again, the Jays have power bats in their lineup, so they just went out and got another power bat. And the Jays, there's a reason they haven't been in the playoffs since 1993. They won back-to-back World Series.
But now they got a five-time All-Star shortstop.
They do, but they're 8 games out behind the Yankees. They have 50 wins. Okay, got it. Cool. They're 6 games out of the wild card. Tells their fan base they're doing something. They got rid of Reyes 2 years for, what, $48 million? Something ridiculous Reyes had left on his contract. And then they get 3 or 4 years with Tulowitzki at 20 a year. So I don't know what they're doing. They're under 500. They've got to leapfrog 3 teams to win the division. They've got to leapfrog 4 teams to get in this. Well, I guess it's a wild card. So I guess 3. They're hovering. Where's the wild card standings? That's what you got to look at right now, because the second wild card.
You got Houston at 5, right behind the Angels. So one of those teams is likely to get in. The Twins are only a couple games better than that, or worse than that, I should say.
The second wild card.
Baltimore. The Blue Jays are a game behind Baltimore, along with the Tampa Bay Rays.
There we go. Wild card standings. Here we go.
White Sox are just behind that. So
Toronto's 2.5 out.
They're one of about 5 teams.
Angels are 1, and they're tied, so one of those will have to go.
The Orioles, the Rays, the Jays, the Twins, the White Sox, the Astros, maybe the Rangers.
Tulowitzki, good luck with that. That's fine. Last time I checked, Toronto can't get anybody out. They have a +94 run difference.
Just outscore them.
They have the plus. That's the best in whoever's left. That's not a division leader. +94. The next best run differential is 72, and they go out and get another bat.
This is like the Colts. You're just going to go more offense.
Well, exactly
so
right.
You're going to outscore them even more.
Got to get guys and get guys out. That's the thing. 50-51. But again, this isn't about the Blue Jays. They have to be desperate. They're going to, again, bring in a bat, do something. And out west, the Pirates have a 4-game lead. In the wild card over the Giants. The Cubs are 2 behind the Giants, so that makes them 6 behind Pittsburgh. The Mets, looking at division. You got L.A. Dodgers and Giants division title. You got Mets and Nationals. But remember, there are 2 months of the season left. There's a third of the season left. That's a ton of baseball.
Yeah.
A ton.
Well, and Pittsburgh and Chicago are hovering around the Dodgers, Giants, Nationals, and Mets records also.
Pirates beat the Twins 10-4 in Minnesota. They beat them last night, too. They got 4 in the 8th, 1 in the 9th. Minnesota's bullpen all-star closer Glenn Perkins blew up. Pittsburgh wins today again. So they put the pressure right back on St. Louis, and we've talked about it. The Reds are going to have a say in how the Central works out with A, who they trade with, and B, they've got a whole week of they beat the Cardinals tonight. Well, the Pirates are happy. Then the Pirates go into Cincinnati, and you're fighting that same battle there. Cubbies win this afternoon. They beat Colorado 3-2. Good for them. Detroit wins. Detroit says today they're having a fire sale. Get in line. You want a little David Price? You want a little of this? You want a little of that? We'll line them up and let them go. Cleveland, big winner over Kansas City. That's huge for their whole division, except Minnesota couldn't take advantage. 12-1 winners, the Tribe, today. San Francisco beating Milwaukee in bottom of the 8 in the Bay, 5-0. Arizona beating Seattle in Seattle, 8-2. Everybody else, like Dave mentioned, goes tonight. Reds pregame at 8, first pitch at 8:15. So this week is when the fireworks happen because of the no-waiver deadline. That's it.
Johnny Cueto, the biggest move so far as a
best
contender?
Pitcher, yeah, no question about it. Latos is nice. He's an innings hog. He eats a ton of innings up. He's been obviously on some of those good Reds teams.
But they've already got a 1-2 there. I mean, they needed more.
The problem was Clayton Kershaw went to the DL today, and I got to look up what happened. Not to the DL, excuse me. I skipped a start today, so I'd have to check out what's going on with him. I saw that in a quick headline earlier, but I did not did not see what that resulted in. So if Kershaw has any injuries, you can never, never have enough pitching, in my opinion.
Sure.
Scratch with hip soreness for tonight's start. From his start Wednesday night, that's tonight. He's been dealing with a sore hip or glute, so if you can get a guy in like Latos that can eat up some innings, you don't have
firing
to.
Firing for him?
Well, you don't have. Yeah, exactly right. Not activating.
There you
that's
go.
What Tiger said. My glutes were not activating. You can give him an extra day here and there as well. So a little bit more insurance coming down the stretch. Kershaw has not allowed a run in 29 innings, the longest active streak in the majors. If you remember, his other buddy, Zach Greinke, I believe it was Monday night against the Mets or on the weekend against the Mets, his 44-inning streak of scoreless ended. Yeah. So, yeah, the Dodgers, pretty good one, too.
Yeah.
But the problem is you get touched up once in a five-game series. Yeah. It makes it a little
easy. No, it's a nice pickup for Los Angeles.
It is.
No
it
question.
Makes complete sense.
Somehow, Kansas City, and again, I mean, Kansas City's got to be one of the best
good
stories in the last couple decades, honestly, in sports with what they are facing as a small market team and never having
their
the benefit
window,
of anything.
They have to go
the
now.
The record they've thrown up there after getting into the World Series and doing it without stud pitching.
They have to go now because their window is closing because all their guys that have been brought up are going to be due huge contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they've moved for Cueto. They can afford to rent him because they have enough deep guys in their minor league system, guys that aren't major league ready right now. But the Royals, with a 9-game lead, this would be historic to not make the playoffs. All division winners go to the playoffs.
Yep.
And with a 9-game lead, that's huge. Yankees, 7-game lead, cruising right along in the East. The East has been very average this year. Everybody's beating up on each other.
When do the Yankees not make noise? I mean, this is the year where they're back in first, but you haven't heard all that much.
Here's what the Yankees have right now. For the first time in a long time, they've got some guys in their minor league system that they're very high on,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to rent a guy for 2 months to give up a 10-year, 12-year player.
Well, just during the course of the season. I mean, we've heard a little bit about A-Rod, of course,
because
he's back and he's actually producing. But there's
fine.
Not a lot of noise coming out
of New
York.
They don't have a lot of noisy players. The only noise you heard about the Yankees this year is how bad CC Sabathia has been, so maybe they take a look at a frontline starting pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want to sacrifice these three or four guys in the minors who they think are – Big
time.
Not saying that to inflate trade value. They've been asked the last couple of years, and they've been like, no, we're not. Those are the guys. The Mets are moving. Who thought the Mets would be where they're at? And they're only a game out of first. They went out and got Juan Uribe, who's had plenty of experience with the Dodgers and Giants over the years, and Kelly Johnson. The Nationals went out and got Papelbon to strengthen up their bullpen. Drew Storen.
How about that stat? Jonathan Papelbon is a leading saves player for both the Red Sox
and the Phillies. I saw that. He's got like 150 for the Phillies and like 200 for the Red Sox or something.
Insane.
Yeah, that was interesting. He gets guys out. I don't like him in a big spot, but he's done it enough times where from the nose up, I don't know what's going on up there.
you don't want to know.
Well,
don't ask.
He's got some fire on him. And the other interesting thing will be the Cardinals. We talked about it right when the segment started. Look at their run support. Their pitching has been so historically good. Their ERA was
291 runs against.
Their ERA in the first 2 months of the season was ridiculous. It got better the next 2 months.
The next best in the NL is 354.
Yeah. It's not even close.
That's 60 runs.
And the Reds are the Cardinals, really, the Red Birds, plus 106 run differential. That's humongous.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not even close. And they have 64 wins, the best record in baseball. They don't tend to tinker with it, but if there's anything, they can't win every game 2-1-3-2. You got to get some hits. Yep. You have to give your pitchers a chance. If they don't pitch perfectly, you can still win the ball game, and that's where you get a little bit worried with the Cardinals. Do they have enough bats? And I mean, people say, Glass, look at the record. Who cares? We've got plus 106 run differential.
Well, it'll matter eventually.
64. It will.
It will matter
because if
eventually.
These guys are going to pitch all year like this, and just wears you down, and wears your bullpen down, and everything else. But it is exciting. This is one of the more exciting weeks. We'll see what's happening. We'll cover it all for you tonight. Obviously, the Reds and Cardinals tonight, two teams that could be moving. We'll have any updates on the airwaves 8:00. The pregame 8:15 tonight. Anthony DeSclafani. Anthony on the hill for the Reds.
Nice.
Trying to get they're trying to win the series. And again, the league where you pay for play, Dave, you're always playing for something. You're auditioning, you're trying to get a spot on next year's roster, whatever it could be. These guys show up every night to play.
Got to take a quick break. It's hot outside. We'll go somewhere where it's always hot. We'll go to Hawaii in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Again, a reminder, we got Reds baseball coming up 8 o'clock here tonight as they finish off the series in St. Louis. And then they're home with Pittsburgh in town starting tomorrow. We'll have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7 o'clock for the Reds. All kinds of stuff starting up, of course, as football season is right around the corner. August 21st is the start of our high school football broadcasts.
9 weeks in a row, regular season football. Everybody in the county will be present and accounted for, Dave, and we'll take, as we always do, the team that advances the furthest or farthest, depending on your grammatical preferences, in the state tournament. And we hope Joe Smith's working on Thanksgiving weekend, because that means one of our local teams will be
there. You go.
In Lucas Oil Stadium competing for a state championship.
NFL, however, will start on August 9th with the Hall of Fame game, Steelers
at Vikings.
Yeah, we thought
that was this weekend. It's not. It's next weekend.
The 9th. And then we've got a whole bunch of NCAA football.
Bunch
of
Saturdays. Really cool addition this year.
Also includes the opening Thursday, several Big Ten games, but also some national games. So check out WGCLradio.com for a whole list there. Some really interesting-looking games.
And don't forget.
A little bummed to see Illinois on there twice, but that's just my preference.
Don't forget the Colts. They returned to the airwaves. Geez, I can't remember how many years in a row that's going to be now. That's close to 10.
It's been a while now.
Well, we had the Super Bowl trophy tour. When was that? Remember, we were at H.H.
Greg
with that?
2006.
Yeah.
I just watched that Donald Sutherland NFL Films special
narration
on that last night.
Very good. So we've at least had it 10 years.
Yeah.
At least been on, because that had been the 2005 season, 2006 right. Super Bowl. So that would be 10 years with this season. So a decade of the Colts here on WGCL. Their camp opens on Saturday in Anderson. We posted on our Facebook page at WGCL Radio. You can go see, click on the link. The Colts will tell you that all their camp's free. It just what times there are. So if you've got kids that have just gone back to school and you got nothing to do, you can get on up to Anderson and check the Colts out. And they've got a bunch of special events going on weekends too. So if you want to take a look at that, they do a really nice job of involving their fans always. And that makes it pretty cool.
Speaking of looking forward quite a bit to around Thanksgiving time, that'll be the Indiana Hoosier basketball team going to Maui for the Maui Invitational. Been a few years on that. It was Tom Crean's first team.
You can only go so many years.
But as we know, that team was scratching to put itself back together. This one a little bit better.
That deal for Maui the first time was done 3 years before that happened. So that's kind of how that works.
But Indiana playing November 23rd. It's a 5 p.m. Eastern time tip-off on
my
ESPN2.
Birthday at happy hour?
Oh, nice.
That's nice of
how do you
to
like
do.
That? That's Indiana nice against Wake Forest. So let's look forward, way forward. Wake Forest was not particularly good this year.
No, they weren't.
I know they return a lot of guys.
They do.
It's
and
a
their
young
coach
Danny
is
Manning.
In year number two, and Danny Manning turned it around at Tulsa, which we've seen happen before after being an assistant at Kansas. Had some good luck there. Took the Wake job. He's got four or five starters back from a team that went 13-19. And year two, everybody should be a little bit better, getting a little bit better. And it'll be interesting because it's a power conference matchup. I mean, they'll play some of these garbage games here versus Austin Peay.
Right.
They'll dress it up like it's some kind of preliminary. Why do they do that? So silly. So Austin Peay could say they can play the Maui Invitation. Yeah, gee, thanks. Send us to Bloomington or Maui? Come on. So what you like about this is Indiana gets three games in 3 days against Division I Power Conference opponents because
they would play St. John's or Vanderbilt in the second game.
Again, Power Conference.
Win or lose. Yep. It's one of the two of them.
And then you'd play somebody from the other bracket, which is anybody besides Chaminade.
Yeah, Kansas Chaminade and UNLV UCLA. So obviously as Hoosier fans, we're looking forward to playing either Stevie Alford. UCLA or Kansas in the final on the winner's bracket.
I'll bring up Alford's schedule. I have it hidden in my Twitter favorites about who he's playing this year, and your jaw will hit the floor when you see who they have in their offseason.
Good
schedule.
Or bad?
Oh, my gosh. It is loaded.
Yeah, well, good
it
for them.
It is loaded. But that's the good news because Indiana fans have clamored for years, hey, shouldn't we play somebody in the early part of the season and just not one game here in November? You get the ACC game and you think, oh, that's the one. And then you play somebody in the middle of in Georgetown in middle of December, and that's your other one. So you don't have these two or three. Well, now you get three in 3 days. And if you win, if you continue to win, obviously you'll get the better opponents in all of that. But even if you do get beat maybe after your second game, if you lose in a semifinal, you're still going to play somebody good in that fourth or that fifth, sixth place game or whatever that is. So the competition's good. And I agree. That's going to tell you a whole lot more than the University of Indianapolis.
Sure.
That's going to tell you a whole lot more about Austin Peay. And it's also going to tell you how – in shape your team is. And we've heard about new conditioning coach and sand pits and this and that and the other thing. You play three games in a cracker box gym. It's 380 degrees back-to-back-to-back days. We'll see who's fit. We'll see who needs to get fit. We'll see who's ready for the challenge. And people say, well, geez, isn't that a lot of basketball? These AAU guys play five games a day, it seems like. So, no, it's not that much basketball. But it's different because the only other time you do that is in your conference championship. Mm-hmm. And Indiana hasn't had to put together many of those runs just because they haven't won enough games to do so. So that's going to be the interesting thing. It's going to be an interesting watermark because you're going to beat Austin Peay at Assembly Hall by 100 points.
Sure.
That's just how it's going to happen. I don't need to look at the McNeese State or whoever else on the rest of their schedule. That's where you're going to get really tuned in to see, hey, is this a year where we start dreaming a little bit, or is this a year we say, geez, they haven't figured it out yet?
Well, and of course, for Hoosier fans, it might only get excited if they end up in that final. St. John's, Vanderbilt, and Wake Forest. These are actually pretty respectable teams over the course of the year.
St. John's just
not
blew up.
Recently, though.
Yeah, Chris Mullin's in charge now.
Exactly.
They just fired Lavin, and they lost 100 kids off that team
last
year.
Vanderbilt's a nice team. Wake Forest was six, seven games under 500. I mean, they've got names.
They're going to be better, but they're not.
You're going to have to look forward to either UCLA or Kansas to see the level of what you expect this Indiana team to at least be approaching.
But this competition level is better because you have Division I athletes.
Yeah, exactly.
You have big-time athletes. And
I'm glad we didn't play Chaminade in the first game.
Sure, exactly.
Let Kansas
right.
do that, I guess.
Right. And so the opposite bracket, as you mentioned, is Kansas, UCLA. UNLV could, you never know. They could surprise and make a little bit of noise on that side. But it is a good test of a watermark. And that's the key. No offense to Indiana State, no offense to Ball State, no offense to the University of Indianapolis or IUPUI. You're playing teams that need to get somewhere and need to do something.
Well, but you don't want
to win for Wake can beat IU. St. John's can beat IU. Vandy can beat IU. Those other teams shouldn't.
They shouldn't
even come in there. So you know you're going to get a good shot from them because they're trying to add something in a rebuilding year to say, if we get close, we beat Indiana on neutral court.
You want to play a couple games that are cupcakes that can help you out, but you don't want 75% of them to be cupcakes. You need some tests.
No, you need at least four or five of them, and that's better than two or three.
You'll get a few here. I've heard the Wake Forest has also got a couple kids coming in, the decent recruits also. So it'll be a test. It'll be a test, more importantly, for those 3 days. I mean,
you'd hate to go out there and play bad teams, and that's not going to be the case. So these teams are looking for a scalp, and the Hoosiers, again, they understand the target's on their back, and they need to figure out a way to ratchet it up and get it going on the islands.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We will talk to you down the road. You've been in the zone.